Come, Holy Spirit, touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Amen. Here they are, about to stand before the bishop. Claire, Isles, Fee, Jen, Nate, Sophie, and Susan, seven deacons. And we're glad that they're about to stand before the bishop. And we're glad that we're here to support them, to encourage them, and to pray for them. Interesting word, glad. It's often the way they translate that verse from the Gospel according to John we've just heard. Jesus stands among the apostles on Easter evening, and we're told that they were glad when they saw the Lord. We heard a different translation, rejoiced, which maybe catches the overwhelming sense of amazement and relief that his presence must have generated. But we heard about gladness earlier, too, in the reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to give to those who mourn a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. The oil of gladness. I hope that's what Bishop Andrew used yesterday when he anointed these seven deacons during their retreat. Yes, lots of gladness this morning in the candidates and in each one of us that God has brought them to this day. So yes, rejoice, be glad. Here they will stand, seven deacons who've been learning for 12 months how to be an ordained minister in the church, how to serve God's people, how to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to reach out into the forgotten corners of the world with good news. Here they will stand, and it seems to me that, Oliver Twist-like, they will stretch out their hands and say, "Please, sir, I want some more." "More?" the bishop might say, assuming they were addressing him, but actually it's God to whom they're speaking, and perhaps even God wants them to explain a little. "Please, Lord, it's not exactly that we want some more, it's that we believe you want more of us, and we want you to give us what we need to do it." For these seven deacons believe that God has called them to be priests. And indeed, the church has tested that conviction of theirs and validated it. We too, don't we, believe that God wants more of them, wants them to be priests. 'Tis in that sense that they ask for more, and we ask, pray with them. And they're not going to be disappointed. But more of what? It's that gospel reading from John chapter 20 that gives us the clues. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And they were glad. And he said it again, "Peace be with you." It's a word of reassurance. Reassurance, above all, of the presence of Christ that they thought they'd lost. Today, Isles and Claire and Jen and Nate and Fee and Sophie and Susan recognize that they need to know more deeply the peace that comes from Christ, the peace that gives an assurance of forgiveness, the peace that spells reconciliation, so that they absorb that more deeply in their own lives and are enabled gladly to proclaim it to others. It's a peace because Jesus is present, their friend and companion, every step of the way. there for them to encounter as they study the scriptures, as they look into the eyes of those to whom they minister, as they break bread and offer a cup of wine. The presence of Christ, who says over and over again, "Peace be with you," and turns them into peacemakers. Jesus does not, of course, wait for them to ask. Look, the request for more is in a way a little mistaken, for here is one who feeds generously, hospitably, lavishly even. Jesus who nourishes. Jesus who invites to a feast such as we share this morning. Jesus may not wait to bestow his peace, but what he does do is to spell out what it is that, clothed in that peace, he requires of us. That's what he did with the apostles on Easter evening. He assured them of his presence and his peace, and then he said, very simply, but with absolute clarity, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." It's a commission. They are to be sent people, sent out from their little company into a big, wide, and sometimes hostile world, sent into unexpected and unexpecting places. He'll tell them later, when they're ready to hear it, that they're to make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them. But for now, he simply says he's sending them. So with Nate and Fee and Sophie and Susan and Isles and Claire and Jen, today they're being sent by God, by the church, sent similarly to make disciples for Christ, to teach, to celebrate the sacraments. And the first reading from the prophet Isaiah gives some further clue to the task for which they're sent. It reflects God's bias for the poor and the marginalized. "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners, to provide for those who mourn, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." In a world of oppression, in a fractured nation, something we're feeling strongly at the present time, where there is division and perplexity, in places where there are broken hearts, to set people free, to bring forgiveness and reconciliation, and yes, to bring the oil of gladness to banish despair. There it is again, the oil of gladness. The anointing is not just for these seven would-be priests. It is for all to whom they will minister. "As the Father sent me, so I send you," Jesus said to them in the upper room that Easter evening. Note something important here. Their sending is to be like his sending. In the same way as the Father sent the Son, so the Son, Jesus, sends his followers. And of course, the way the Father sent the Son was a very costly way. It was a way that involved a life of letting go, of walking humbly, of identification with those on the edge, of quite a lot of self-denial, of suffering too, though never more than he could bear. There will be cost too for these seven about to be priests, though also, please God, the strength to walk patiently, even creatively, through it. It's a serious business, priesthood. If they understand that, and I know they do, Jen, Claire, Isles, Susan, Sophie, Fee, and Nate, will still be asking for more. The apostles had hardly time to take in what this sending might mean and what they might need to ask for before they were given more. "Peace be with you," he said. "As the Father sends me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit, of course, is the gift of the Father and the Son today. "Send down the Holy Spirit upon your servant Susan, your servant Sophie, your servant Fee, your servant Nate. Send down the Holy Spirit upon your servant Isles, your servant Claire, your servant Jan, for the office and work of a priest in your church." It's the same Holy Spirit who was planted in Mary that she might be the mother of the Lord. It's the same Holy Spirit who came powerfully upon Jesus at his baptism. It's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed on the apostles that Easter evening and on those assembled in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit indwells each one of us, but in answer to our prayer, can come powerfully with fresh life and energy when we seek new gifts, as we do this morning. No need to ask for more, for our generous God will pour into these seven enough and more than enough for all God requires of them. And that's a source of real gladness. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me," says Isaiah. Three stages for the apostles: the assurance of Christ's presence and peace, the sending, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three stages for those whom we ordain today: the assurance of Christ's presence and peace, the sending, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all a source of immense gladness. Come back to that word gladness for a final moment. It's a quieter, more understated word than rejoicing, let alone the overflowing with joy of some translations. The disciples were glad. Instead of mourning, the oil of gladness. I tell you why I like that word. I like the word glad because of its origins. It comes to us from the Old English gled, which means bright and shining. The disciples were bright and shining when they saw the Lord. Today they will stand before the bishop, one man and six women, bright and shining. Having spent the last 3 days with them, I can assure you they are bright and shining, and it is with the brightness of Jesus Christ that they shine. Today we pray that their love for Christ and his people, their faith in God, their sense of calling will continue to be bright and shining, that through their ministry, the people to whom they minister will become more bright and shining, and that the church will shine more brightly in this world that cries out for gladness. Claire, Isles, Jen, Nate, Sophie, Susan, when you pray each day and find yourself immersed in the Psalms, as I hope you will, keep a lookout for gladness. "You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Make me hear of joy and gladness. You've put gladness in my heart. Light has sprung for the righteous and gladness for the true of heart. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song." And every time you encounter gladness, be a priest who shines a little more brightly, sent by the one who is dazzling brightness himself. And the rest of us, we too can today, and every time we come, ask for more peace, more sense of calling and of sending, more of the Holy Spirit, more gladness in our hearts for the gifts of our generous God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.